Welcome to High Truths on Drugs and Addiction, where national experts bring you facts and answers. I'm your host, Dr. Ronit Lev, an emergency and addiction doctor who has served at the White House and still practices on the front lines. Right here on High Truths, you will learn from experts from around the globe and around all aspects of drugs and addiction. To grow this community of information and action, I hope you give us a five-star review. Come visit me on hightruths.com to learn more about the show or download a free prescription for naloxone. Carrying naloxone for drugs is like carrying an EpiPen for allergies. Today's episode is sponsored by Families Against Fentanyl. FAF is an organization set on attacking the supply chain of deadly illicit fentanyl. To learn more, visit familiesagainstfentanyl.org and sign their petition to declare illicit fentanyl a weapon of mass destruction. Hello again, High Truth listeners. Get ready for a DEA conversation. I'm your host, Dr. Ronit Lev. DEA, as in the Drug Enforcement Agency. The DEA was established in 1973 under President Nixon as a single federal agency to enforce federal drug laws. The DEA has 241 domestic offices and 93 foreign offices. The mission is aimed at the supply side of drugs, reducing the availability of illicit substances on the market. You may have heard the classic cliche of, we can't arrest our way out of the drug problem. But I think that's a bad cliche because it implies that we just want to place people in jail who smoke pot or party with cocaine and just have them sit in jail. And it ignores the importance of attacking the supply of drugs, having deterrence to drug use and drug dealing, and attacking the supply that's pouring into our country of illicit fentanyl is a critical part of the solution to the drug crisis. Ignoring supply and deterrence leads to what we have today, which is drug deaths and tragedy at biblical proportions. Ideally, fentanyl would be declared a weapon of mass destruction and would have the full force of the American government protecting our citizens with over 300 deaths a day from fentanyl. Many of those who do not have an opiate use disorder, I'd say our country is under attack. And I very much support the partnership between public safety and public health, and I'm very proud of the relationship we have where I live in San Diego. To learn more about San Diego's DEA, I reached out to Shelley Howe, special agent in charge of the San Diego Field Division. Shelley Howe rose through the ranks of law enforcement in Iowa, Minneapolis, Virginia, and San Diego. She's received numerous awards for her service and achievements. And to learn more about Shelley Howe, check out the High Truth show notes. Shelley Howe, welcome to High Truths.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Dr. Love.
Yes, very excited. I won't let my little sore throat or raffled voice get in the way of the show, but if you hear that. I want our audience to get to know you a little better. You have a degree in sociology, and you have a very fruitful, amazing career in law enforcement. Can you tell us how that happened?
Sure. I went to Coe College in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I majored in sociology with an emphasis in criminal justice. In 1999, I started my law enforcement career with the Iowa Department of Public Safety, Narcotics Division. And I was a special agent back in the northeast corner of Iowa, working undercover and meth labs, and did a lot of work with the Drug Enforcement Administration back then. And I figured that was a good opportunity for me to get out of Iowa. So I applied with the Drug Enforcement Administration, got on in 2003, and I've been here ever since.
But what made you go into law enforcement? Is it do you have family members, friends, or why choose that career path?
Well, that's a great question. I don't have anybody in law enforcement. I got out of college and I was an insurance agent. I hated that job. I started working with juvenile delinquents. And that's where my passion was. And it was, private sector, not a lot of money in it. And you could see the drug problem with these troubled kids. And I saw an advertisement for the state of Iowa narcotics. I applied and that's how I got my foot in the door, just trying to help these youth through their problems and saw a bigger need.
And you still do that to this day?
I still do that to this day.
Yeah. And what was it like to be undercover? Did you have to wear different like clothes and hair? And
well, you know, being a female, money talks, right? And they will sell drugs to just about anybody. And it was really easy because they don't expect a female to be undercover. I loved it. That was the fun part of the job.
That wasn't scary.
Right now isn't as fun. But it was great. You know, adrenaline rush around every corner. And that's really what makes our cases. I remember buying drugs from people and then going to arrest them, and they couldn't believe it was me. They thought I was a cop half the time, and I just told them I wasn't. And they still sold me anyway.
Wow. So you didn't have to like costume up or whatever. You just went in as yourself and said, hey, I want someone.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. I had some sweats on, maybe a bandana every once in a while, but you don't really need to change. Listen, drugs affect every demographic. I mean, you can look like, you know, the rich and famous, or you can look like a homeless person and everybody in between. There's no discrimination of who's using drugs these days. And they look like me.
And you see that in your work. I see that in the emergency department, and our medical examiner sees that too.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. And we have a really big problem here.
What about what people think about DEA? Is like there was a TV series, DEA, and the show Narcos. And then you know what it's really like what I see all the different medical shows. And is that really how it is in real life? What do you think?
Well, there's much more paperwork. They don't show that side of it. This is a government job, and there's a lot of red tape. And with every fun search warrant, with every fun buy bust, with every car chase, there's a ton of paperwork that goes on with that. Because at the end of the day, we have to lock these people up, put them in jail, and go through the court process and make sure that our charges stick.
Right. And somehow for some people, they think that that's bad, that putting people in jail is bad and not compassionate and not where we need to be. I'm sure you've heard that. We can't, you know, we're going to arrest people. But I personally disagree. You need deterrence for bad behavior. And I also think it's an opportunity. When I see people who are going to jail and they come to the ER for jail clearance, I said, this is an opportunity for you to change things around for you. And
how
do you think about that?
When I was a working agent, even in Iowa, every single person I arrested ultimately thanked me because that was a way for them to turn their life around. The Drug Enforcement Administration, we're not out arresting users. We understand that there's a problem, and that's why we partner with our community partners, public health, you know, to get these people help. We're not after the user that is being targeted by the drug cartels. We're going after the cartels that are driving addiction in our country, bottom line. And we are going after the mid-level dealers that are here in the country. And we're going to continue to do that. And those people need to pay the price and sit behind bars for the epidemics and the problems they're causing throughout our country.
Right. And I always say that some people, when they say that they want to be compassionate, it's actually cruel because it enables a problem, not fair to the victims and not fair to the person who is in addiction and missing out on opportunity to change things around. The other thing about you, I think that's very interesting is that you're a mom and here you have this, you know, job in law enforcement, special agent in charge of DA in San Diego and balancing motherhood. I relate to that. I raised four children through a career in medicine, but how do you balance that? And what do you tell your children about drugs?
You know, I try not to think about it because I don't know if I balance it well. It's a lot of work. I mean, you know, I'm running the Drug Enforcement Administration here in San Diego. It consists of two counties, over 300 employees. But the reason I do it is because of my kids. I have three kids, a 9, 7, and 3-year-old, and it's a full-time job. That's probably more exhausting than coming to work every day. But we have real conversations at home. We sit around the dinner table and, you know, we talk about drugs. They're like poison. You can only take a pill if it's from your parents. And it is a constant conversation. Listen, the really sad thing is that there are other drug enforcement agents that have sat at a table with their children like I do every night and had the same conversation, yet they have lost their children to a fentanyl poisoning. It's heartbreaking because we live it and we're preaching it all the time, yet we're not immune to it either.
That's right. That's sad too. But yeah, you know what? When you're raising your children, you never know. I never knew if I'm like doing okay or not, or if I'm screwing them up. but I do now because my kids are adults and, you know, they live through it. And I think one advice I give, you know, career moms is to including your kids in what you're doing. Because they love, you know, mommy, and mom would be proud of her. And I use my kids in all my projects. Age appropriate.
You know, they had my 9-year-old got a birthday bag from school, and it had a little capsule pill in it. And I was not happy. And now we had to sit and explain to him, like, it was a pen. But why this pill was not a good thing to be giving out at school, and that it told kids. And I said, well, what does this make you think when you get this pill from school that's a pen? He said, well, mom, it's cool. It's just a pen. I said, well, that's the problem, is that kids, and when we give these little trinkets out, kids think that this is a fun thing and that pills are fun and happy. And I had one professional, when I was doing a talk, see this little pill pen that I had. She said, oh, a happy pill. And I said, well, thank you. You're helping me out, because that's exactly what people think. And that's exactly what the kids think, is that this is a happy pill, and it's not. And so that caused, you know, a lot of discussion at our dinner table about how pills are not happy. They are for medicine. They are to help you feel better. And they can only be given to you by your parents from a doctor. And, you know, these are conversations we have all the time. And trust me, I went to the principal and had this talk with them as well.
Right. We learn from the kids, learn also from, you know, negative examples like that.
Yeah. It's a constant education in our house.
So let's talk about fentanyl, the crisis, specifically in San Diego, where you're in charge. It's 2024. Where are we at with that?
Yeah, well, my area of responsibility is San Diego County and Imperial County. And if you look at the border, that range is about 7% of the U.S.-Mexican border. And that 7% has more than 50% of the drugs coming through it. So here in San Diego, we're sitting in the eye of the storm. And the drug cartels are driving addiction here because they're bringing fentanyl, methamphetamine, cocaine over every possible way: tunnels, air, land, sea, body carrying, through the ports of entry, and in whether it's avocados, tomato paste, however they can get it across, they're doing it. So we are constantly being bombarded here with drugs that are coming north through the border. And do some of them stay here? Absolutely. But we are also supplying the rest of the country.
Yeah, that's crazy. It remains a problem. We know it's a problem because, and see it in the emergency department. We're seeing it with the medical examiners. And you and I meet on a regular basis through our Credo Task Force, where every single month we can bring sectors from across San Diego. And I love that about San Diego, how well we work together across disciplines to say what we're seeing, what's on the ground, and what can we do about it. And we can react to it without just waiting for data to come back like a year later. and we share information so to make each other stronger. So I love that. And your role in DEA is to stop the trafficking. I see that, you know, working with DEA over many years, DEA was my entry point to activism on the issue of drugs, because it was back when physicians were the drug dealers, unintentionally, not knowing. And I had, you know, law enforcement officers come in with guns to medical meetings to educate us how we are ourselves victims as physicians and how we're being tricked. And they showed us like interesting movies of scams people play on doctors. So I know DEA does a lot more than just, you know, go after the drug cartels. And perhaps you can expand.
Yeah, we have a diversion unit here. And, you know, they're constantly monitoring physicians and the prescriptions they're writing. And if there's a doctor that is falsifying prescriptions or overprescribing, those doctors are investigated. And this is a necessity here, because we do have this opioid problem. And so the overprescribing is something that's closely monitored. And, you know, if you look at what people are doing is they're becoming addicted by opioids. And then if their prescription runs out, unfortunately, they're turning to the street to supplement that. And so when they turn to the street, whether they're a college athlete, whether they're a high school athlete, whether they're an adult that has an addiction, or they're trying to supplement pain meds, they turn to the street and they're getting illicit pills that are laced with fentanyl, and they're dying. And we have a One Pill Can Kill campaign. It's not like back in the day where you said, you know, there's gateway drugs and just say no, because it was an experimental process for people to get into drugs, and marijuana was a gateway drug. You cannot trust anything, because if your college student goes and wants to split a pill with her buddy at a party, and they've gotten this pill from some drug dealer on the street, they can die, half a pill. And these pills are made in clandestine labs in Mexico, where there's no safety measures. And if you think about how these pills are made, and if they're putting fentanyl into these pills, 2 milligrams of fentanyl is a lethal dose. And so think about it as like a chocolate chip cookie. When you're making chocolate chip cookies and we split a cookie, one half of that chocolate chip cookie is going to have 5 chocolate chips in it, and one might have 2. So if you were to take the side with 5 chocolate chips, that could be a lethal dose. And I have the side that has 2 from the same pill. You die, I live. And this is what we're experiencing here in the United States during this fentanyl epidemic.
Yeah, we literally see that. I've had 2 girls who took a pill and one died and one didn't.
Devastating.
Yeah, that's exactly like that.
It is. It's so heartbreaking, because we have an overdose response team here in our office, and they're responding to overdose poisonings here in San Diego proper.
And there Team 10, we're very proud of them.
Yes. And
they teach nationally and internationally what they're doing. Tell us about Team 10. They're amazing.
Yes, they are amazing. And they're really an example for the rest of the country. And they've been shadowed multiple times by multiple cities, multiple police departments throughout the country, so that they can take this back and start their own overdose poisoning response team in their area. And you know, there are overdose deaths, poisonings constantly throughout the county. And we're responding in San Diego proper. And basically, you have to triage the phone call. And so what we do is if there's a poisoning in San Diego, law enforcement will call our Team 10, and they will basically triage it. Say, do we have any witnesses? Is there a phone? Is there any paraphernalia? Are there any leads that we can work up to investigate this poisoning? And if there is, they'll respond and they'll try to work this up and they'll try to get to the individual that provided that lethal dose to this poisoning victim.
Yeah. And really shout out to what they do, because people want, if when they lose someone, they want to feel that their loved one mattered. And I'll talk to people around the country and they'll say, you know, my loved one died of fentanyl. Nobody cared. They didn't come. They didn't check. And I'm, you know, and I'll point out Team Tame that they come and they investigate and they look at the form and they trace it. And that's how we care, because your lives matter. And you take that opportunity to prevent another death, right? Because every person who died, whatever they got into, other people may be getting into it. And getting that out of circulation, you can save a lot more lives. They're also teach me about the trends that's in the community by doing that as well. So we know as a medical community what to be aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. It's heartbreaking. And like I talked about earlier, is this affects everybody. And this affects, you know, kids that look like yours and mine. Yeah. And we do. We as Team 10, we as a community here in San Diego, we as a law enforcement community, I mean, we partner with you. We partner with, you know, mental health. We partner with our behavioral health. And listen, this is all hands on deck response. One death is absolutely unacceptable. And we have partnered with our families of poisoning victims that have lost their loved ones. And really, that is who we like to put front and center at these community speaking engagements we do, because they are tired of hearing from you and I. They are tired of hearing from public communities and behavioral health people. They want to hear from the people that have been impacted by it, because it's so impactful, because these people look like us. And it is so impactful and gut-wrenching. I know you've been at some of our family summits where these families come in. It's a very heavy day, but it's yet so very important, because these families get a voice. They get to talk about their child. And we are going to do whatever we can to help them get in front of an audience so that no other family has to endure the pain that they have had to deal with. And really, if you think about it, when these families get up to talk anywhere, they're reliving their child's death over and over. And it's very selfless what they're doing to save other children in our community.
It is impactful. It's a great program. This is a DEA Family Summit that DEA has nationally and then locally. And you led an incredible events. And I'm sure that you're going to continue doing that, because more and more families want to be, when they hear about it, they, you know, I wanted to be invited and talk about their child, what happened, what they think went right, what they think went wrong, and how they're transforming their pain to purpose, as you mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. And we give them an opportunity to tell all of us that are working in this field what we missed, what we can do better. And we put that into play. I mean, we try to do better every single year. But we also give those parents an opportunity if they want to talk. And a lot of our parents do. A lot of our parents, it's therapy for them. It's an opportunity for these folks to get together and to have peers that are experiencing the same thing. Because there's nothing in the world I can say to these parents that's going to make them feel better, that's going to bring their child back. But it gives them an opportunity to meet other people that are experiencing the exact same thing. And they've told me they're finding comfort in that.
Yeah, that's a lot. I think that's the greatest value, too, is they see that they're not alone and they meet other families with similar, you know, experiences. From this family summit, what's your advice of how families can arm themselves against fentanyl, and how do these summits inform the public?
Well, that's one of my biggest frustrations. You know, in 2021, 2022, and the stats for 2023, our overdose poisonings are on par and on track right around 814 for those 3 years. And that's not good enough. I have constantly complained and tried to shout from the mountaintops that the citizens of San Diego County and the country aren't aware of the problems of fentanyl, aren't aware of the opioid epidemic. And we have to get to them however we can. And we have to get this message out. And by having the family summit, by putting these folks, these families that have lost loved ones in front of every audience we can possibly get them in, is the only way people are going to say, this is real and this is really happening, when they can relate to somebody that their child was an athlete, was an unbelievable baseball player, unbelievable softball player, and unbelievable academic student, and they still were poisoned and died from fentanyl. Because it's you and I just talking. But when we put this family that has experienced this real loss, and families in the public can relate to that, that's what's going to save lives. We're just giving them the forum to do so and to reach as many people as possible. And again, I said it before, I can't imagine if one of my children passed away. And to continually talk about it, it would be experiencing that over and over again. And these families do that. They do that because they do not want anyone else to go through this.
Right. And it keeps their loved one's memory alive with their activism that they do on behalf of their child. Mm-hmm. It's very, very powerful. I want to talk a little more. You mentioned the border. San Diego is 7% of the border, 50% of the drug flow. What is the solution?
We need to continue to attack the cartels that are driving addiction here. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're going after the top tiers of these cartels, Sinaloa and CJ&G. And we are attacking this problem at every level. We're going after the precursor supply chain in China. We're going after the heads of the cartel in Mexico. And we're going after the mid-level dealers that are distributing narcotics throughout the country. And like I talked about earlier from Team 10, we are going after those individuals that have provided a lethal dose of fentanyl to our victims. So if you look at it as a pyramid, we are locked on from top to bottom. And this isn't something we're doing alone in San Diego County. Clearly, as you have sat in many meetings with us, our law enforcement partners here are integral to our success. And we have great partnerships with state, local, and federal agencies here locally. I believe that San Diego County is a testament of how working collaboratively is so effective. I know other places throughout our country do not have the law enforcement engagement with one another that we do. I can pick up the phone and call any chief, any Fed head here in the county, and they would do whatever I needed them to do, and vice versa. It is such a great partnership here. I'm proud to be in San Diego County, because sitting in the eye of the storm, we all need to be on this together.
Right. And there'll always be drugs, but we still need the deterrence. Just because it's going to always be a problem doesn't mean we just say, okay, it's all right. because that just creates more and more of a problem. And we see that happening in our society. Social media. I know DA is involved in that. What's the role of social media? Maybe our listeners don't even know that there is this thing called drug emojis. And what is that? And how are you involved in that?
Yeah, I think the important thing here is for parents to be aware of what their children are doing, what they're doing sitting on the couch right next to them as they're flipping through their phone. And we're having kids order drugs online just by putting down emojis. And they're, you know, the days of when I used to buy drugs early in my career where you'd have to go meet a bad guy in an alley or, you know, in an abandoned building are over. They don't even need to meet up anymore. You can order it online. You can pay for it through online pay apps. So that whole dark, mysterious way of buying drugs is a thing of the past. So my takeaway here to parents is to pay attention, talk to your kids, know what your kids are doing at all times. And it's as easy as them sitting next to you on the couch, ordering drugs with emojis on their phone, and then paying with it for an app.
This is today's drug dealer, your phone.
Absolutely. And it's really scary.
What are some of the emojis? I know you had an expert talk at a meeting, but maybe just tell our audience what are some things.
It can be anything. It's ever changing, whether it's an evergreen tree, whether it's a syringe, whether it's a rainbow. I mean, they go on and on, and it's ever evolving and ever changing. So if your child is ordering something online over his phone, you got to be aware because it is going to constantly change.
Right. And part of parenting is looking at what your kids are doing on their phone. It's not a matter of people say, well, it's their privacy. It's like, no, you need to know what your kids are up to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's a life and death thing.
Absolutely.
And an educational opportunity, like these words are not appropriate. You know, whatever you're texting will be there forever. It could affect your whole life. It doesn't get erased, even though it seems like it doesn't erase, which is an issue with Snapchat. And I know there's a group of parents now suing Snapchat for drug dealing.
Yeah. I mean, every platform has it. And to call out just one would be unfair. Right. So, I mean, you can go through and you can pick whatever it is, and there's going to be something that's going to come along and be the next Snapchat, the next Facebook, the next Instagram. It doesn't matter. And, you know, it's hard for us to stay as parents to stay caught up. Right. It's hard for me to turn up the volume on this computer when we started the show. So if your kids are going to show you how to do stuff and they're just going to zoom right on past you technologically. And that's just how it goes as we get older. Yeah. But everything is evolving and it's best to just be aware, to know that there are going to be things out there that parents don't know. And that's okay, but ask questions.
Right. What about drugs besides fentanyl poisoning that we're seeing in San Diego County? What other things are you dealing with?
Well, methamphetamine is right there with fentanyl. I mean, we're seizing large amounts of methamphetamine and, you know, cocaine. But methamphetamine is still a problem. And to take away from that, and just talk about fentanyl, we'd be remiss. And there are still methamphetamine overdoses, just like there are fentanyl. And what people are starting to do is they think that they can use methamphetamine and fentanyl to counteract one another. And that's just not the way it works. And so, unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there that, listen, the bottom line is easy for me to say, don't use drugs. But I understand that people have addiction and they need to get help. Unfortunately, you have a lot of people that do seek treatment. And we see this when we talk about our fentanyl summit families, and whether it's methamphetamine that they're in treatment for, or it's fentanyl they're in treatment for, and they come out and they do well for a while. But then when they go back to using, they go back to using the amount that they went into treatment using. And that's what a lot of them overdose on.
Yeah. I think it depends on the message. People say, oh, you can't just say no to drugs. And yes, you can. And because I know as a mom, you say that to your children. And absolutely. I said that to my children. I say, absolutely, you don't do that. And you started saying that when they were 3 years old, because it's never too early to learn that type of value. That's not to say that, you know, we in our job, me in healthcare and you're in law enforcement, we're seeing a different population that already has a horrible problem. Just saying, okay, just don't do it is like, well, I can't. Then that's a different conversation. You have a medical condition. Let's get you help with that. But that doesn't mean we teach children that, oh, you know, to use safer or people have a medical condition. I think it's absolutely the right message to tell children to protect their brain, that their brain is growing, and to avoid anything that can harm their brain, whether it's alcohol, tobacco, or drugs. I think that's absolutely the right message. And we 100%. Confusion is when we mix the populations.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing that you've seen in San Diego County affects children, right? What about those gummies that are coming into schools that have marijuana in them and send children to the hospital? These kids are not giggling. They have encephalopathy. And there's no antidote. They get admitted to the hospital, even the ICU, and some still are now, you know, weeks later have consequences from that marijuana poisoning.
Absolutely. I mean, it's truly a tragedy. And I think about my house, and if any of my children found gummy bears in our house, they are going to eat the entire pack, not just one. Right. And so, unfortunately, we have had children that have gotten a hold of their parents' marijuana gummies and have ingested them. And this is so catastrophic because of exactly what you said. This is unacceptable. And why as a country, a state, we think that this is okay? Because in the wrong hands, they look like a normal gummy. And God forbid if these kids would have eaten the whole bag like my children would have had they found some gummies, we could be having a different conversation right now. And it goes back to education. It goes back to sometimes some of these kids are a product of their environment. And what they're seeing at home, they think that's okay. And so how do you have that conversation when they see their parents or their brothers and sisters doing it? It's very unfortunate because then you have a heavy lift for the teachers and the educators for these children.
Well, I can't. Part of that is just really an American problem. Other countries, when I mentioned, the biggest poisoning we have in the United States for children under the age of 5 is marijuana gummies. They're like, you're selling marijuana candies in the United States? Like, other countries don't do that. And we have a huge marijuana candy market. Like, why is that even okay? I think that needs to stop upstream. And really disappointed in our California Assembly and California governor, frankly, for not signing the bill last year that would have prevented marijuana gummies that are poisoning our children.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. It's a colossal problem. And it is going to have to, unfortunately, these are problems are going to have to continue to occur for somebody to take notice. That's not what we want. That's unfortunately 100% unacceptable. But with society today, that's where we're at.
Yeah. Another shout out to DA of San Diego is starting the Red Ribbon campaign. That all started here in San Diego. Now we have it nationwide in multiple areas. And tell us about that. I look forward to the Red Ribbon event every year with Kiki Caminero's family.
Yeah, Kiki Camarena was a drug enforcement agent, and he was doing undercover operations in Mexico. Unfortunately, he was kidnapped and tortured, and which has started the Red Ribbon campaign here to honor his memory, but yet make children aware of the dangers of drugs. And the Camarena family has been outstanding year after year, remembering Kiki and him as an agent, a husband and a father, a brother, and a son. But they have also shared his legacy with the rest of the country. And because of Red Ribbon Week, we're able to get into the schools and share this legacy and promote drug abstinence throughout the country. And we continue to do that. And, you know, it's really interesting to see because I have friends that have high school students that participate in the Red Ribbon campaign. And these schools really do get into it. It is, you know, every year they try to top what they did last year and just make drug awareness throughout their school, which is so very, very important. And for us to continue this is really an honor.
Yes. Yeah. And I love the fact that, again, seeing the family and each year is wonderful. And that the reach that they have to children. And again, you can't start too young to get that message out. And they've done such a beautiful job in doing that. Really proud of that. The other thing, hopefully coming to San Diego and DEA is a DEA traveling museum. I know it's not a done deal, but we've been working on this for a while now. And I don't know if you want to mention that. We don't have it yet, but who knows? It's a great traveling exhibit that's gone to several communities, and we're hoping to get that in San Diego.
Yes, absolutely. I haven't been in it yet. I've heard about it. It's a phenomenal exhibit that is mobile. I'm excited to see it myself, and I think that it's going to be great for communities to see. Hopefully it's going to be up in San Marcos area. Is that what I'm San Diego State area?
Yeah.
So hopefully we get that here soon, and it would be a great exhibit for people to come and check out.
It's great. And it's what I like about it is it's a community project. So people think, oh, DEA, law enforcement, and that you just want to war on drugs. But the cost and consequences exhibit is a community project where you have public health, public safety, harm reduction, education, all parts of the community coming in, bringing in school kids to kind of learn and meet with local people and how the stories have impacted, each community. And I'm looking forward to that because I think it could potentially be the best prevention effort, not just an exhibit, but a message to the community and a great opportunity to share our public message of safety.
Absolutely. Like I said earlier, we have to educate folks multiple ways so that everybody has an opportunity to hear it. And this is another example of how we can do that.
Yeah. If you had a tool, a top priority in your job with DEA, what would that be? What would your wish be?
Money and people. The more money we have, we can expand our overdose poisoning response teams. We can cover every single city in the counties, to include Imperial, and more agents. It is law enforcement is a difficult career for people anymore, and unfortunately, hiring is very difficult for us, and money and people is what we need to continue to be the paramount drug enforcement agency in the world.
And then I think maybe not for you, but I think going way upstream, I would love to see fentanyl declared a weapon of mass destruction. That would bring an all-out federal, local approach to get at the source and the root of the problems in a way that gives us a lot more power. I support families against fentanyl that are working to do just that, and that'll empower you even more greatly to get off and choke the cartels where it hurts in their pocketbooks to stop this attack. Really, it's an attack of our country when we're losing over 300 people a day. This is the public health crisis of our time. Shelly Howe, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, telling us about DEA, your dedication to law enforcement, to San Diego, your partnership over the years, and being a wonderful mom.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Lev. It was my pleasure, and thank you for having me, and keep up the great work.
Thank you for listening to High Truths on Drugs and Addiction, where you learn from experts from around the globe and around all aspects of drugs and addiction. This week's episode would not be possible without the generous support of our sponsor. A sincere and warm thank you to FAF, Families Against Fentanyl. Visit familiesagainstfentanyl.org to learn more. Hi Truth's producer is Dave Rivas from Davey Boy Productions. I am your host, Dr. Ronit Lev. We hope we brought your day a little bit more. Hi Truth's.